Quest for Truth, now part of Christian Podcast Community. Podcasts.strivingforeternity.org. Coming soon, watch for some great giveaways and words about other podcasts on the network.
bit.com/CPC contest.
Now, listen to this. Merry Christmas, everyone. This is your host, Keith, and you're about to listen to some Christmas treats. And with me is
Nathan Caldwell. Merry Christmas, Keith.
Yeah, and best wishes to our listeners as we talk about the Christmas story. Let's move on to day three.
Okay, our passage is Matthew 1, 18 through 25. And then we're going to look at a familiar passage in Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. But first, Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take Mary, to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now the first thing that popped in my head here is, was she married before she, or were they married? I know he didn't know her, biblically speaking, until Jesus was born, so that he was born of a virgin. But did she look pregnant before they got married? Because if so, Joseph had a little bit of a, I can't think of the word. It would have looked bad for Joseph.
Yeah, well, with this timeline of events, as we know from before, Mary found out she was pregnant and immediately went with Elizabeth, who was already 6 months pregnant. So she was with Elizabeth for 3 months. And then here in Matthew, it says, when it became known that she was pregnant. So 3 months later, Matthew figures out, you know, Mary, you're getting kind of chubby there.
Here's the thing. So Joseph says, I'm going to marry her. Well, wonder why. People are going to be like, I wonder why he's still going to marry her.
Yeah, but when he found out, he was troubled. And I think it says, being a righteous man, he knew the law. And he knew by law, he didn't have to marry her now. By the law, he had the right to bring out in public and expose her and disgrace her and have her stoned.
But do you not think
he was troubled enough and he loved her enough that he didn't know what to do, and he finally decided, let's just do this quietly, no questions asked, just cut the tie. And that's when the angel came to him in a dream and says, no, the Holy Spirit is moving here. This is a holy child.
Right. But what I'm saying is, do you not think that Joseph was taking a perceived character shot by marrying her, even though she was still pregnant?
Because I'm sure that, of course, tongues wag, as they say.
Right, exactly.
People can count, and they know, they were betrothed, which means that they were legally binding, but they weren't married.
Naughty shame.
Mm-hmm. So look at this, the celebrity there with child. Now, do I understand it, that this situation was not uncommon among people for them to say, you know, we're going to get married anyway, so, you know, let's just kind of do this thing.
But of course, in this case, that's not what happened.
In this case, it's not happened. And Joseph, he, clearly by what the statement says, he was troubled about it because he knew he wasn't him.
Right.
You know, and he came to this decision, and the Spirit, again, comforted him and said, go ahead and go through with this. Marry this woman, and you're going to have a baby, and you're going to call him Jesus, which means God saves, literally. And he did it. And so this prophecy, in its own way, was now revealed to Joseph.
There is an interesting thought that I had, and I don't know if you can give an answer to it or not, but regarding the name of Jesus, he was also given the name Emmanuel. Do you know how that connection is made with him still?
Emmanuel means God with us. And if you think about it, when Jesus was on the earth, he was God with us.
Right.
So it would have been correct to call him Emmanuel.
They called his name Jesus, is what I'm saying. Is where did the Emmanuel play in, or do we really know where it played in?
His name is Jesus, but he was,
By description, okay.
He existed as
Emmanuel,
God with us.
Gotcha.
So his tangible person was Jesus, but his nature, his character,
was Emmanuel.
Was God with us.
Okay, gotcha.
Which is eternal. I mean, the more you look at it, it's eternal.
I know that's a little bit off topic, but it just struck me.
It's not necessarily off topic. It's a deep concept that goes along with the story of Jesus' birth.
Once
Joseph had this word from the angel, call him Jesus, call him God with us, he got up from his dream and he went and he married this woman. But he did not sleep with her. I think literally the Greek word says, like you would say, shack up with. He didn't shack up with her until after his son was born.
All right. Well,
you have another passage to read here?
I do. And this happens not long after the last one, because in Luke chapter 2 it says, it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I need to come back to that in a minute, because there's something interesting that Greg Kokel has to say about that. But anyway, on. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know, the first thing I thought of when I was reading this is, oh joy, more taxes. You know, everybody likes to go pay their taxes. And you know, I'm sure it was inconvenient when all of a sudden you hear, oh, great, he wants us to do what? He wants us to go where? But all of this was important in keeping the prophecy that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. And
there's a lot of controversy around the taxes and the census and the going to Bethlehem, because they say if it happened, the Jews would be really upset. There's no record of this governor Quirinius at this time. Well, archaeologists have found that there were two different Quiriniuses, and I forget which one, the earlier one or the later one, but they do fit with this time frame.
Right.
There may not be a record of him saying, "Thou must have a census," but it's not uncommon for a new governor to step in and want to know, how many people do I govern anyway?
Right. Yeah. What's my situation here? Yeah.
Now, there's another odd thing of why did they have to travel from Galilee to Bethlehem? And because the way taxes work back then is where they count you, that's where you pay your taxes. So
right.
If they intended to be counted in Bethlehem, that to me, that means they intended to go there to live. We're not just going to travel here just because of their taxes and move back to Galilee.
On that note, there was a good chance that, and I think it's pretty fair to say, Joseph had family there. And Greg Kokel says, in the Bible it talks about not being room in the inn. But in actuality, he says there was no inn. What that actually most likely means is it was a room that would have been reserved for family that came home. So it's basically a room in the house of his family, and there was no room there. There wasn't any more room.
I've read on that is often, I mean, there were a lot of inns. Often it was just a flat space in the road with a lot of grass, so a traveler could have their animals grazed, and they literally would camp out in the open, and that was the inn. It was like, you could call it a rest stop, like we have on the highways today. And so the fact this innkeeper even had a stable, it was, like I said, it's probably a house, I would say, but being full of people, and you have a woman who's going to give birth.
Right.
If you're a woman, do you want to give birth in a room full of people staring at you?
I kind of
think not. And so the fact that they were in the stable really is a grace, because it gave her privacy while she had her baby.
And though I have to go to the point that the Lord of creation, the creator of the universe, was born, when he took on a human body, was born in a feeding trough. Wow.
That's interesting. It's amazing. It reminds me, even today, you'll hear like a young parent say, "Oh, we didn't have anything, and we had to lay our baby in a dresser drawer instead of a crib." And I think it may be the same kind of a thing. They were they were traveling. They didn't have it all.
Right.
And so
that still ain't a feeding trough.
They just had their baby sleep in a feeding trough instead of a cradle.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those interesting tidbits, just the kind of thing a mother might keep us in a scrapbook for a baby book for their child as a remembrance. But it just makes an iconic moment, maybe would be the word, that Jesus, said the Lord of creation came and was lowly enough to be a place where animals eat.
And look at the life he lived. He did not live the life of a man going, "I am all that." Although, to be honest, he was all that. I mean, if anybody had the right to say, "Look at me, look at me, look at me," for all of his life, Jesus had that right, but very rarely did he draw. I mean, he drew attention to himself in the sense that he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. But at the same time, he was lowly enough to wash his disciples' feet.
He claims to, "The foxes have holes, the birds have nests, right. But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He often lived in the open. He often traveled. If he stayed at a house, he stayed at somebody else's house. He never had his own. Why would God, you know, show up and be that way when he could easily command, you know, the richest palace, the most comfortable things? The reason is the power that he came in, his mission was to seek and save the lost, not to be Mr. Comfortable.
And it was also, I wonder if part of that was also to teach us just exactly what some of the verses throughout the week we've been reading says, is that God uplifts the humble and puts down the proud.
Right.
And he lived his life by that.
Right. And he was completely content with the nature that he created. I mean, he created the woods, yeah, and the desert,
right,
and the animals. He was completely content to be among nature as much as he was around people, which is interesting too.
All
and
right,
of course, the shepherds, they had a, they're out there doing their thing, and they had a surprising angelic message themselves. And they went to go investigate. And look, there it was. Again, more prophecy coming through. More messengers, more announcements. Because when the king is coming, people announce that.
That's right. And next time we get together, Keith, we're going to actually talk about the visit from the shepherds a little more in detail.
Musical tracks in today's show are selections from Handel's Messiah, presented by Protectors of the Book and Quest for Truth, life-truth.com.